I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Before Candid Camera, there was Candid Microphone. Alan Funt created both programs, with the television version the obvious next step from radio. Alan Funt worked in radio when he was in the Army. He wrote material for Eleanor Roosevelt's radio chat show, and after he was discharged from the service, he made up stunts for the radio program Truth or Consequences. He got the idea of making secret recordings while he was in the Army, and in 1947 he brought his show to ABC. It took a lot of work to put together an episode of Candid Microphone. For every bit that made it to the air, 10 were rejected. And for the stories that were used, hundreds of tape splices had to be done to get the recording into broadcast condition. The people Alan Funt zinged were paid $15 for allowing their recordings to air. Candid Microphone ran for 15 months on ABC starting in June of 1947. One problem the show suffered was that it was too good. That is, listeners thought the recordings were fake. The show was off the air until June of 1950 when CBS brought it back for just one summer. Of course, the TV version fared much better, running for over two decades. This episode of Candid Microphone, Help the Eskimos, was originally broadcast on August 10, 1947.
The American Broadcasting Company presents The Candid Microphone, the program that brings you the secretly recorded reactions of ordinary people to all kinds of situations. No one ever knows when he's talking into The Candid Microphone. Here's that man who might get you on record someday, the man with the hidden mic.
Because The Candid Microphone is 7 weeks old today, we'd like to take a minute out for kind of a seventh-inning stretch. For one thing, we'd like to say that you listeners have certainly been playing ball with us. We once tried to buy a watch that runs backwards, and you sent us two that actually do. We tried to get a hotel room for a trained SEAL, and 14 sympathetic housewives have offered us their bathtubs. We took a mongrel puppy to a dog beauty parlor, and scores of you have asked how he looks in his new continental trim. Of course, there have been brickbats among your sweet bouquets, and you'll hear about one of those in a few minutes. Although many of our secret recordings are made in the spirit of fun, our real purpose is to get closer to reality by hiding our microphone and catching people off guard. Our narrator will now give you the inside story behind each of the secret recordings captured this week by the Candid Microphone.
Sweet charity, we've been told, is something that begins at home. If you've ever heard the rattle of coins in a collection box, you know that charity reaches out in the streets of any big city. But where does charity end? Very often we drop our dime or quarter in the little box held out to us without really knowing too much about it, except that someone needs something. One day last week, the man with the hidden mic set out to test the limit of people's generosity. With his little rattling collection box, you'll hear it as he talks, he had faith and hope that the first man he stopped in the street would give his little donation, no matter what the charity. After he had been ignored by a score of busy people, this secret record was made.
No, I'm sorry.
We're collecting money for the OFCF-FNE.
What? What was that?
It's the OFCF-FNE. It's the Organization for Collecting Funds for Needy Eskimos.
First time I've heard of that one. Well, who are they? What are they? What are they doing?
Well, as a matter of fact, very few people in this country know what hardships they're enduring there. You see, they had a warm winter, and that it upsets them terribly. Their whole economy is disturbed, and a lot of their igloos melted, and a lot of their folks are without the proper clothing. And they have clothes for cold weather, but they have nothing that they can wear in the warm weather.
Well, I think they take off their clothes.
No, it doesn't work that way, sir.
Well, I imagine that they can build themselves up again on their own. There's plenty of ice up there to build the igloos.
Well, that's true, sir, but they can use our help, and any little thing that you can spare, they need it. You know how a polar bear feels in the warm weather? Well, how could you turn down a warm Eskimo, sir? Not a large contribution, a dime, a quarter, anything like that.
No, sorry, there are more worthy organizations.
Well, no, there are more publicized organizations, sir, but this is really a very fine cause. If you could see those Eskimos up there, you'd really appreciate this.
You're right there. The others are publicized. I've never heard of this one
well,
before.
Well, it's very, very fine. It's the OFCFFNE, and I'm sure that it's worth your support, sir. Anything
what, is it all voluntary work?
All voluntary work.
What
we contribute our time and everything else.
Well, you solicit through the mail?
No, we don't solicit through the mail. It's a poor little organization. We're collecting funds on street corners and wherever we can. And it's very worthwhile.
What do you do with the money?
We send it up there to the Eskimos.
In money or in...
Money and supplies and foodstuffs and everything else, sir. And they're really... it's something you can be proud to have contributed to.
First time I've heard of them.
Well, you may hear more of them.
Need.
Oh, they are, sir. Believe me, they're in dire circumstances. You can imagine what a warm winter would do up there. It's just as bad as a hurricane down here. It's something you can deduct from your income tax.
Well, I'll be glad to give a small contribution.
All right, that's fine. Thank you very much.
If this appeal has melted your heart, contribute your ice cubes to any branch office of the OFCFFNE. You wouldn't let a few dollars come between friends, would you? Well, we would. Especially if we could get another secret recording of the whole thing. We had been listening to a couple of repairmen working in the hallway outside our office. They sounded like a couple of rough characters, the kind we hadn't really captured yet on Candid Microphone, so we figured out a way to get them into a little argument. While they were out to lunch, we rigged up our recorder and mic in a valise and planted it near the spot where they had left their tools. And just to be sure that they'd have something to talk about, we dropped a wallet with $11 in it where they couldn't help seeing it. And then we waited in our office for something to happen. We listened as they found it. And when it began to sound as though we had tuned in on a fight, the man with the hidden mic rushed out, as usual, to put his 2 cents worth in or to get his $11 back. The talk was about beginning to turn into action when we began recording.
I found a wallet here, and I'm going to keep it.
I was right alongside of you, man. You almost knocked me over trying to pick it up.
That's all right. I found it, and I'm going to keep it, and you can't do nothing about it.
Well, let's see what's in it.
Oh, no, fella. This is mine. I'm going to keep it in my pocket.
Listen, for 2 cents, I'd knock you right on your
back.
You
would,
Wait. What's the matter here, fella?
Well, I found this wallet, and this
is
here...
Is it yours?
Well, it's mine now.
It happens to be mine.
Oh, wait a minute. I expect to get half of this thing.
Oh, wait a second. You butt out of this for a while, will you, buddy, please? Just 1 second. I don't know.
All right, go ahead.
Is it your wallet, fella?
It's mine now. I found it.
But I'm telling you it's mine. I'll tell you exactly what's in it.
What's in it?
There's $11. There's a 10 and a 1 and nothing else. No card, no nothing.
Is there no name in it?
No name.
Identification?
Well, look in it. You'll see. Is there?
Yeah, tell me the last number of the $10 bill.
Oh, come on, buddy. You're
kidding. Well, how do I know?
I told you exactly how much money there was in it. It's mine.
It's yours.
I dropped it there a few minutes ago.
Suppose we call a cop and I'll take
it. Never mind the cops. Isn't that
enough?
Is it yours?
It's mine now. I got it. If you want it, you'll have to get down and battle for it. Down and
no, 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 no. Don't you think it's fair that I should get it, buddy?
No, I think you're a phony.
What do you mean you think I'm a phony? I identified the wallet.
There's nobody through this hallway in the last hour.
What do you mean? I left all this equipment here 15 minutes ago. I must have dropped it when I put this stuff down.
Oh, knock him on his back, Bill.
I picked it up, and I'm going to keep it.
No, no, no. Now, fellas, now, you're not being fair about this thing. This is my wallet.
I don't know you.
Is it yours?
It's mine now.
Why?
Because I find it. Find it
is
keep.
Find it. That's for kids.
That's what you say.
Find is keep. That's what little girls say.
Yeah, but how do I know you?
A grown guy like you.
I don't know you.
I said that it's mine, and I proved it to you.
Anybody can come along and pick up this wallet and say it is his.
No, no, no. I identify. Nobody's going to pick $11 out of a hat.
That's no mean of identification.
Why not? I tell you how much there is in it and say exactly what's in it and tell you there's no cards or anything else.
A man just took a good guess, that's all. He was lucky. I
got some money in my pocket now.
Yeah,
I got a certain amount. Wait a second. I got a certain number of bills in my pocket. Can you guess how much money there is in it?
Well, you just took a good guess, that's all.
How long did you
take
a good
lucky
guess?
I'm not lucky. I'm
You're
trying to get
lucky
half of this here money.
Listen,
you come
it's
around
my wallet.
Well, I'm sorry, buddy. You don't get it, and I don't think I'm going to give it. And you try to get it, I'm going to piff you in a kiss.
Thank you. don't have a studio audience at the broadcast of Candid Microphone, but every showman likes applause, so we take our little bow when your letters come in. But once in a while, we get a few hisses and catcalls. Well, that's okay, too, because we want you to speak your mind, like those people whose voices you hear on our secret recordings. Well, one lady took us at our word and wrote us a few well-chosen ones that really made our ears burn. Now, even an angry woman has the privilege of changing her mind, and we decided that the man with the hidden mic was just the man to do it. This lady lived in an apartment house, so we got a next-door neighbor to let us set up our recorder in her apartment and brought the hidden mic right to her door, where we got the following recording.
I'm with the American Broadcasting Company, and I wonder if I could have just a couple of minutes of your time. Is that all right?
Yes.
You wrote us a letter the other day about one of our programs called A Candid Microphone, and I gather from your letter that you don't like it very much.
No, I don't.
Well, why? What are some of the things you find objectionable about it?
Well, I don't like it because I think it's snooping, out and out snooping.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
In your letter, you said you said it a little more strongly. You said you thought we were a bunch of dirty, sneaking spies. That was kind of strong language. You feel that much about it, huh?
Well, I suppose at the time when I was listening to the program, I felt that way.
And how about right now?
I also think it's a cheap way of doing things. You know, you might pay a person for appearing at the program, at the microphone.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I know. That's one of your tactics, no doubt. You want to save. So you get these people in their homes extemporaneously, answering questions that you probably would have to pay for if they were rehearsed.
Well, do you think it would make it any less offensive if you knew that we did pay everybody whose voice we recorded? Would we be all right then?
I think it would be, yes. Less offensive.
But do you think that's snooping?
Yes, it is. It's still snooping. The easiest manner is for you to come into their homes, knock on their doors when you want, go into people's bedrooms, you know, and...
Bedrooms?
Yes, of course. I heard that one program about the... What was it? You went into some man's bedroom?
Oh, you mean the one where the wife awakened the husband?
Awakened the husband, and there was the poor fellow. He didn't know he was speaking for the public. It sort of put him in a bad light, don't you think?
Well,
after all, the way you awaken...
Did you ever hear...
...your own private affair.
Well, you may have something there, but don't you think it's funny the sounds a man makes when he awakens?
Yes, they're funny, but they're only for him, though, in his own bedroom, and I'm sure he doesn't enjoy having the whole world know about it. Do you...
Well...
Would you?
It was a man's bedroom, and we had his wife's permission to come in there. You feel like that was...
You had his wife's permission?
Sure. She arranged to let us come in there and record his voice.
Poor fellow, you can't trust her very well, can he?
Well, are you married?
No, I'm not. But I have a brother, and we have the same difficulty getting him up. Or rather, his wife has now.
Do you help once in a while?
I used to have the position.
Don't you think most people are nervous and self-conscious in front of a microphone?
Not anymore. I think most people take to a microphone very nicely.
Do you feel you'd talk just about the same way if you know you knew you were talking
right
to a microphone right now?
Yes, I would.
There'd be no difference whatsoever.
No difference.
Well, now look, let me show you. This is a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've just said is ready to go out from coast to coast. Does that make any difference to you?
What am I supposed to do at this point? Faint dead away.
Do you mind our coming in here and talking to you this way? Do you think we took an unfair advantage of you?
I think so, at the moment.
This conversation may not be worth a nickel, but would you like to have it on the air?
Yes.
You would?
Of course I would. Because I want the whole world to know of my opinion on this program.
Most any woman would be glad to give you a piece of her mind. We had to pay $15 for that piece. If you've missed our first six programs, here's something you should know on how we go about putting this show together. And when we say go about, we really mean just that. If we wanted actors, we wouldn't have to budge an inch out of Radio City. But on Candid Microphone, we try to portray people as they really are and as they really sound. And we've found that no one can do a better job of that than the people themselves. That's why we go about putting this show together. When we want a tailor, we go right to a tailor shop.
And when we want a housewife, we knock on her door. And what's more, even then we don't tell them why we're there until after we've caught them in the act of being themselves. We hide our microphone and make a secret recording of whatever you hear at the time it actually happens. The man with the hidden microphone may even get around to you someday, but don't bother looking for him, because you'll never know when you are talking into the candid microphone. Usually, when you have a problem, you go around asking advice until you get the advice you want. Some problems, though, can have only one answer, like a simple problem in arithmetic. You wouldn't think so, though, if you asked more than one person. Give four normally calculating people an eighth grade problem in division, and between them, they'll come up with more dividends than a matured war bond. Now, before you go helping Junior with his homework, let's see how much you've forgotten about the third of the three R's. Listen to a little problem we put to unsuspecting strangers.
Tell me, do you remember any of your division from school?
A little of it.
How do you divide 7/8 by 3/4?
7/8 by 3/4?
Yeah.
You find a common denominator and proceed from there. It's not too difficult from that.
Common denominator? Don't you use that when you add?
No, not the common denominator when you're adding.
The common denominator, I guess, would be 8.
Common denominator would be 8. That would be, you would multiply the 3 or 3/4 by 2, which would make 6/8, and the 4 of the 3/4 by 2, which would make, then 6/8 would be 7/8 divided by 6/8.
Yeah.
From there, it'd require a little pencil and paper to carry it on out.
How do you divide 7/8 by 3/4?
Isn't 7/8 equivalent to 3/4?
No, 7/8.
7/8 is much more than 3/4. That's right. Yes.
Just a little.
About 8 more.
Yeah, 2/8 would be a quarter.
Well, you divide it. You mean divide 3/4 into 7/8?
Yeah.
Not me.
No, well, there is a way. I remember we learned it.
As far as I know, we never divided a fraction into a fraction. We always divide a fraction into a number.
Yeah, but I mean, for instance, you have, how many times does a half go into two-thirds? You divide one fraction into the other, don't you?
Again? I never heard of that. I doubt very much if you divide a fraction. It's impossible, because you'll have an uneven number.
Yeah, but you might get an answer of a fraction. Like, for instance, you could say, how much is a quarter of a quarter? That really is dividing two fractions.
Quarter of a quarter is it? Quarter of a quarter.
Gee, we learned it in school, and we forgot.
And there is a way?
Can you tell me how you divide 7/8 by 3/4?
Multiply 7/8 by 3/4. Multiply 7 by 3 and 8 by 8. You're 21/64.
Say that again now. Maybe you've got it right.
Multiply a 7 by a 3. That's 7/8 by 3/4.
Yeah.
All right, that'll be 21/32. 8 to the 4.
21/32.
That's right.
And that's the answer you get if you divide 7/8 by 3/4?
I believe so.
By 3/4.
Yeah.
I'd change 3/4 into 75 and then divide it by 7/8. And what I'd get, I don't know. I'd have to go into the
table. You change 3/4 into 0.75, mm-hmm. And then what?
And then divide it by 7/8.
No, but you're dividing 7/8 by 3/4.
Well, I just do it the same way and turn it around. 0.75.
Yeah.
Divided by 7/8.
Well, no, you're dividing 7/8 by 3/4.
I told you not to ask me.
If you're having as much trouble getting the correct answer, just ask any 13-year-old kid. The next secretly recorded conversation is one between two blinded veterans. Here's how it happened. We had waited with our mic and recorder at the newsstand of a large building. And for 3 hours, we recorded the gossip of office girls on their lunch hour as they stopped to gab. But when we played over our secretly made recordings, only one bit stood out. It was the voices of the two blind fellows who ran the newsstand. It's just small talk, but maybe you'll hear something bigger in it. Listen.
By the way, P, how often do you have to shave?
Oh, I shave twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening.
What do you want to shave that much for?
Oh, I have to. I work in the morning and in the evening I have to go out. How about you?
I got to shave every day. If I don't shave, my wife gets right after me. She used to tell me, she said, when you're in England, that's all you did is shave, so you can do it over here.
Well, it takes me about 45 minutes to shave.
45 minutes? That long? Well, the beard you got, all you have to do is go outside and get the cat and let it lick it off.
Yes, but the barber tells me it's pretty wiry.
Do you use a straight razor?
Well, I use a straight razor. What do you think I am, crazy? I'll never forget the first time I learned how to shave. I just took that razor, pulled it slow, slow, and slow. And when I go out, a fellow would say, hey, did you shave this morning? I'd say, yeah. Well, he says, boy, you sure look funny. I had plenty of practice learning how to shave. My first experience was when I was running maneuvers out in the desert, when there was no mirrors, and I had to shave without a mirror.
Well, I had a experience like that in France. I had a 2 week beard. And shave with cold water and no mirror.
Well, that's not so bad.
What, 2 weeks without
no.
shaving? I mean, by the way, do you let your wife shave you?
Oh, no.
Why
I
not?
I never trust a woman to shave me.
Why not?
They're too dangerous.
Listen, as good looking as you are, you don't have to worry about anything.
These two blind veterans didn't sound any different than a million other guys passing the time of day, did they? Okay, don't treat them any different. That's the way they want it. Just lean back a minute while we paint you a beautiful picture. Suppose you were the greatest guy in the world. Nobody, but nobody, laughs when you sit down at the piano. You've won a million friends and you've influenced everybody else. Your muscles have muscles. And the women who can't whistle just purse their lips when you pass. You've got a country home in every country and a townhouse in every town. You've got so much money in the bank, the interest bores you. And when you shoot over 70 on the golf course, men mash their mashies and flags fly at half mast. What a man. What a tycoon. And that's you. Okay, now, big shot. Let's see you walk into any restaurant and try to get the waiter to substitute one teeny item on a buck and a half blue plate. See if you can get any further than the man with the hidden mic did. He tried it, and it went like this.
Waiter, I think I'd like to have this special dinner here.
Yeah, what do you like to have?
What? Let's see now. It says a dollar and a half tomato juice, vegetable soup, roast beef. Listen, I'd like to have this special dinner, but, do I have to take that tomato juice?
No, you don't have to take the tomato juice, but I won't take it off the price. I mean, off the dollar and a half. It's all to get a dollar and a half. You take the tomato juice or not, it's just the same.
Yeah, but I mean, can I have pineapple juice instead?
No, we haven't got it, and that's the bill of fare. It's made up that way by the chef, and I have to
I
wait.
I mean, but have you got that. Some, let's see, any other kind of juice?
Nope, only tomato juice.
Only tomato juice. Vegetable soup. You got any consomme or anything like
that? No, vegetable soup, just the way it's on the bill of fare.
Vegetable soup, huh? I don't like vegetable soup.
Well, I can't help that if you don't like vegetable soup. You eat the roast beef and pay a dollar and a half just the same.
Could I change the soup for some fruit salad?
No, you can't send your soup either for fruit salad. That stays that way, and that's made up. I don't make up the bill of fare. Yeah, that's some custom up here.
Oh, wait, just a second. All right, now the roast beef with carrots and peas. Can I change that to string beans?
No, carrots and peas, that's the standard.
Oh, but carrots and peas, I don't like carrots and peas.
Oh, then you eat it without carrots and peas.
Well, what other vegetable can I have?
Nothing. We eat the potatoes. Double portion potatoes.
Can I have any vegetable?
Nope.
Can I have a salad?
No salad.
What flavor ice cream you got?
Vanilla and chocolate.
No strawberry?
No strawberry, no. Not a baby.
Well, what other dessert? You have any?
Oh, vanilla and chocolate ice cream. Either you take vanilla or you take chocolate or two without it.
No, but look, fella.
Mister, you're taking my time away.
No, wait just a second. I want this dinner, but I can't find anything I like on it yet.
Well, if you don't like it here, eat a sandwich.
No, I like the $1.50 dinner. That's a good buy. But
that's all that is.
Can you give me any, just a little fruit salad for the dessert?
No, I can't do it. What do you think? The chef threw me out of the kitchen if I go in there asking for a fruit salad.
So far, you haven't given me anything I like. Well, no, here, all right. Look, let's start. I don't like tomato juice.
You like tomato juice. You don't like no soup, but you like the roast beef.
Yeah.
But you don't like no carrots and peas.
Right.
You want ice cream, but you don't like the vanilla ice cream. You don't like the chocolate.
If I could have this $1.50 dinner with tomato juice, I'll even take tomato juice.
Yeah.
Nice consomme.
I got no consomme.
All right. Roast beef with the string beans and French fried potatoes. And I'll even take the ice cream.
No, nothing for me.
What?
Either you take it or you...
Ask the chef. Maybe...
No, I don't go in the chef. The chef's going to run with the kitchen knife after me.
No.
No, sir.
Can't you change it a little bit?
Nope, nothing changed. According, that's the standby, and that's all that's stored. I work on according to schedule.
The what?
According to schedule. That's a schedule for me.
What do you mean? It's a dinner.
That's all right, but for me, it's a schedule. What I've got on here, I got to sell. I can't sell nothing else what I haven't got on there.
Well, maybe he's got a lot of pineapple juice.
Well, I
got to
get rid
there.
Of this stuff first, eh?
Well, what, are you trying to get rid of it on me?
Well, if you don't take it, somebody else will.
I'll have to eat.
Yeah, but...
You're here to serve me.
Yeah, but...
I want this $1.50 dinner, but I want to make a couple of little changes. Ask him about it.
No.
Could you take the carrots... out and only peas.
No, the carriage and the peas is together, and takes two men to pick the carriage out. Then when I bring the peas, you want the carriage in it.
No.
Yeah?
I don't like carrots. I can't stand
them. Don't eat them. Just pick out the peas.
How can I... Why don't you pick out the peas? Double portion of potatoes.
Yeah,
and...
but I ain't getting paid for that, sir.
But just a little change here and there.
Nothing stubborn. Take it or leave it.
Oh, no. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. On this $1.50 dinner, if I leave off the tomato juice and I leave off the carrots and peas, how much will a dinner cost?
It's still $1.50, and even you only eat one slice of roast beef, it's still $1.50.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, fair or not fair, if you don't can eat, that's not my fault.
Do I get bread and butter with it?
Yeah, you get two slices of bread and a
how
piece of butter.
Toast?
No, the toaster broke down. I got no toast. I can't run across the street now and get the toaster fixed.
You got bread. You can
yeah,
make it.
Yeah, well,
you got a stove.
Yeah, but I'm not supposed to go behind the stove. That's a union man back there.
Well, you're a union man.
Yeah, but that's only out in the dining room. That doesn't belong into the kitchen.
So what do I have to have? It looks like I have no choice. What do I have to have? What can you do for me on this?
Well, I give it a whole shooting match, and you pick out whatever you like.
Until next week, the candid microphone goes back into hiding, the better to eavesdrop on the people whose voices are secretly recorded. We mention no names, but you may recognize them all as people that you meet every day. That's because they're real people who never knew that their every word was captured by the candid microphone.
The Candid Microphone is tailored for your entertainment. That's why we want to hear your candid comments about it. Write to us in care of the American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. Next week, ABC's Candid Microphone will bring you more actual scenes from real life, exactly as they happen. We hope you'll be listening next Sunday when we'll be heard again over most of these ABC stations. On the staff behind the Candid Microphone are Joe Graham, Ralph Norman, and John Larkin. The Candid Microphone is a copyrighted Alan A. Funk production. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
From August 10, 1947, Candid Microphone. If there are other old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you'd just like to talk about old-time radio, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info, I-N-F-O. Thanks for listening. In the Old-Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.